was a firefight!
Why did you judge me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law.
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls, episode number 17. I'm Tim.
And I'm Lou.
And there is no Leander.
No!
Fuck all of you who
want Leander.
There is
a Leander.
He's
just not here.
Nope, he ain't here. And
too cool for school.
Yeah, he's not here for his podcast.
Yep.
I like to break his stones. If you ever go up to Leander and you're like, oh, I like your podcast, and I'm there, I'm going to break his balls because it's technically was my podcast for a long time. So I like to say, Leander, this isn't your podcast, and I like to break his balls in front of people. It's really funny.
It would be nice if someone said they liked it, though.
No, it was very nice. I'm like, wow, I'm so happy, but let me break his balls.
Okay, yeah. You can't let that one fly under the radar, man.
Can I go on your podcast? He looks at me, and I'm like, yeah, they can.
Yeah, no, you gotta let them know what's what.
That's right. So, as usual, we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube. Our website address is www.capesandscowlspodcast.com. You, sir, have a Twitter handle for your band.
I don't want to talk about that right now, Tim. We got a lot of ground to cover.
Wow.
I'll do plugs later.
All right, well, I like to plug at the top and the bottom of the show, so my Twitter is @mad_dog_Tim. Mad Dog Tim. Fuck, I always fuck up my Twitter handle.
Yeah, well, it's kind of complicated. It's the underscores.
It's the underscores. They throw me off. It's mad_dog_Tim.
So what, there was already a Mad Dog Tim with no underscores?
I don't even know. I just added underscores, and I feel
like
you
led with the underscores?
I like underscores, but I can't apparently read underscores written
right
in front of me.
That's why. Underscores complicate things.
No one
likes them.
I understand
usually now. If you can get the name without the underscores, you want to get the name without the underscores, so you can say, Mad Dog Tim.
I like the separation of words.
There's a couple ways you could do it, though. You could be mad with two D's. You could be dog with two G's.
It's too late now. I'm not changing.
That's fine. All right. Underscores all day.
Underscores for days.
Do it your way.
It's going to be a joke that I can never say it correctly, so people will just eventually get it. Well, nobody's checking it out anyway. Don't worry about it.
Well, you got some followers. You got more followers than I do, because I don't understand Twitter at all. I look
Twitter's
at Twitter
fun.
And I'm just like, what is this weird mini Facebook?
Yeah.
And then I just go back to Facebook where I can type as much as I fucking want.
It's hard to get your point across with just 140 characters.
It is. I'm verbose. I need to, like, you know, I need to spam that text box, baby.
There it is. Well, if you want to yell at Lou on his Twitter, it's @HighCouncilRock.
But that's for the band. Don't yell at me personally. Although Ryan Young, friend of the show, Ryan Young, has a Twitter also. And so what I do is I link my band's Facebook page with my Twitter so that I don't actually have to update Twitter ever, which is probably why I don't really know how to use it. So I'll go in and I'll update and it'll automatically post to the Twitter. So here's a note for anyone who does that. If you may have a typo on your Facebook and then you edit it, Twitter will not edit it. So we played a show at a place called Red Dwarf Studios, and I put Red Dward Studios.
Oh, yeah.
And Ryan called me out on that, and he said, what the fuck is a dward? So, yeah, a little tech advice there.
Was he giving you shit? Should I, like, take things out of his pole bin?
No, it was funny.
All right.
And it taught me a valuable lesson in that if you actually are paying attention to that kind of stuff. You gotta update both things.
Well, there's a lot to talk about. You were right about that, so I guess we'll get right into it. First and foremost, let's talk about us, because we are the news
Today, we are the news.
You and I went up to East Coast Comic Con, and that was a week ago, 2 weeks ago. We haven't podcasted to talk about it, and it was a very good show. I enjoyed the show, and appreciated everybody who came out. We were there for the comic book store, 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey.
That's right.
Who have a free comic book day sale coming up, where things will be quite on sale. If it's in the store, it's on sale. But yeah, we were there. We met some of our idols. You know, I got to meet Larry Hama, the creator of G.I. Joe and all of that. And I was super excited. And he was a cool guy who apparently is hard of hearing and had the funniest signs ever in front of him. Like, I am hard of hearing. No, I probably won't be able to draw what you want. You want me to draw you snake eyes? I can draw you snake eyes.
His signs had so much attitude.
His signs were awesome. It made it so much better. And I was just like, thumbs up, man, thanks. And he's like, cool.
Yeah, I didn't get to meet anybody, but I don't think there was anyone there who I really needed to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, for my own personal fandom.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm glad that you did.
Mm-hmm. I was excited. He doesn't come around. And as you know, sometimes people don't make it out of these cons. So Herb Tremp was there.
Yeah. Okay. So my experience with this was first, because we, for the store, we had a Hulk 181 on our wall, which is the first appearance of Wolverine. And it was signed by him.
Yep. It was already signed by him.
And I wasn't really familiar with the artist. Obviously, I know the book is the first appearance, but, you know, the dealers and the people who came by our table kept asking, oh, it's got a signature. Who's the signature by? So throughout the day, I, you know, obviously figured out that it was his, so I could tell people that. And then that he was, in fact, the artist. And that he was, in fact, at the con.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just learned who he was. And then a day later, seeing the in the Facebook feed that he'd passed away. So within a 48 or maybe 72 hour span, I learned who Herb Trimp was, learned that I had been in the same place with him. And then learned that he had died.
Yeah. He had breakfast behind us one of the mornings.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of surreal. Like, we do these cons a lot, and, like, you like, kind of geek out over certain people. It's cool to meet certain people. But after you've met them, like, for the 5,000th time, it's just commonplace.
Yeah.
Like, we were sitting there in the hotel lobby area eating our breakfast, and it's like, hey, there's Neil Adams to the left of us. Steranko was in the elevator with us, and Herb Tremp was behind us having, like, oatmeal or something. And it's just like, it's very surreal, and if I was just a casual fan, well, maybe not casual to know all the older guys, but if I was just a regular fan walking into that hotel, I probably, my head would explode.
Yeah, it's funny, because they don't, it is cool to see those guys, but they don't really have an air of celebrity, you know, like Neil Adams is just like an old guy in sneakers, you know, Steranko is like an old guy in a brown suit, you know, it's not like, you know.
He's always dressed to the nines, that Steranko.
He is. I mean, so it is cool, but at the end of the day, they're just old guys having breakfast.
Right.
You
right.
know, so.
Get out of my way, Adams. You're blocking the coffee.
Oh, that, yeah, that actually happened.
That was fucking
Allie, my girlfriend, told Neil Adams' wife to get out of the way of the ice machine. She was a little bit nicer about it than that. But she was like, oh, I'm sorry. She's like, I need ice.
When we don't get invited back, we know why. Them, no, I don't... them, get rid of them.
Yeah, Neil Adams is like, take them away. Not in this con. You almost hit him with a car.
That was a different con. Okay, first of all, that was in Connecticut.
Oh, so all's forget. What happens in Connecticut stays in Connecticut.
That should be the fucking tagline. Connecticut was terrible. If you live in Connecticut, I'm sorry.
Man, but giving bad press to the state of Connecticut.
I mean, I tried to be nice to Connecticut. It just wasn't nice to me. It was a little guy in big city kind of feel. It was bad. It was all highways, and it was horrible. It was terrible.
Fucking yeah.
It's awful. Sorry, Connecticut. So yeah, we did that, and you know, it's unfortunate that Herb Tremp passed, but he was a very good artist, and it was weird. Like, I often wonder, like, did he know he was sick? Was he sick? Was, like, we don't know.
Yeah, they didn't give a lot of details in the articles I saw.
He started doing cons almost out of nowhere, and it's like, oh, now he's everywhere. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Maybe he knew he was gonna die. Maybe he was sick. Who knows? Or maybe it's just complete coincidence.
Yeah, that's a shame. My first thought when I thought it was like, oh my gosh, like we were right in the same room with him, you know, at his last public appearance. But my second thought was, and I felt really bad about this, was that anybody who got their book signed and graded probably made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that was a bad feeling to have. But the same point, the part that recognizes that there's a collectible value to signatures was like that, you know, a lot of people might have got money out of this.
And I regret not getting him to sign my G.I. Joe because he was the artist on G.I. Joe. Ah. So I got the Larry Hama signature. I'm like, Herb Trump's everywhere. I don't have the funds to just blow all my money on autographs. And then he was gone. Which is a horrible way to think, but it's like, oh, I could have done that. Oh, well, whatever.
It's
weird. Like, you want to feel bad, but, like, you're not being a bad person for, like, whatever.
Yeah, I probably would have felt worse about thinking that if I had known who he was for more than, you know, a weekend. But it makes me think about, you know, that aspect of comic collecting. Like, I've never really got it. Like, the whole signature CGC. Mm-hmm. Like, signature's cool, but signatures to collectors really aren't worth that much unless it is graded.
Right.
In fact, people were complaining that the book was pre-signed because then it couldn't be certified as that signature. So it's just an aspect of collecting that I don't really identify with. Like, I read comics because I like them. I respect writers and artists, and, you know, I'm like fans of their work. And getting a signature would be cool, but just getting the book slabbed and just the grading, every minute detail, I feel like it almost takes it to a level that's not really, you know, where it started. Like, if you're a kid, you grow up, you love comics, and you're like, I love these heroes, and I love reading them. And then you get older, you have a big collection, you have all the books you want, like, all right, well, where do I go from here? I've completed all these runs. Well, now I need to get better copies of these runs. But how does everyone know that they're better copies? Well, I got to have a company tell me that they're better copies. I'm going to pay that company for those tiny little decimals of a grading. And then at that point, you know, you can swing your big comic dick collection around and be like, all my whole collection is 9.8s and I can never touch them or read them.
Your long box dick. Yeah. I wonder how many people actually collect CGC to collect versus just get them graded to flip them. Like, I feel like it's more of a money grab.
Well, it's a money grab, but if people weren't at some point the flipping has to stop. You know, at some point, obviously, if the people are just getting the books graded so that they could turn around and make a quick buck by flipping them, there's still people buying them on the other end. So it still works, which means that people have a lot of value in them. And the comic book store, we didn't really do a lot of CGC. We didn't have too many CGC books in there. But then we started getting in more and more of them, and guess what? They do sell. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a big market for it. I have one CGC book with a signature by Stephen King. And
it's the most awesome book ever.
It's really cool, and it was a gift, and that's why, you know, like, it's really important to me. Like, it's cool artwork. Not a great book, but Stephen King's signature is very rare.
It is super rare on a comic book. He won't sign those.
Yeah.
The story behind that book is it was for a charitable auction where you won a chance for him to sign something, and he would sign whatever you brought him, but he would always, up until that point, never sign the Dark Tower books. And whoever won brought that to him, and he got it signed. So there's probably 5 to 10 of those in existence. Yeah. And you got one, Lou.
That's cool. And that's why I treasure that. But I can't see me being like, you know, at any point being like, oh, I should send this book away to get graded. I don't know. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. It's an aspect of collecting. But to me, I just feel like it's, you know, it's just another number to feel proud about that you have in your collection instead of really appreciating what it is. But that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. I'm not to trash those people who really want to collect in that way. That's fine. Yeah, it's fine for you.
Yeah. I wonder, as far as collecting, just because it's so expensive usually.
Yeah.
To get decent books. Like, I don't see a lot of people out there slabbing, like, any old book. Like, who cares if you have a 9.8 Thor 412 or something? I hope that's not a key. But you get the idea.
Oh, and then there's the pressing people have been talking about. Okay, yep. Now you can press comic books. So that, like, Because that's almost like cheating the system. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to artificially enhance the grade of this book.
You are allowed to press. You're not allowed to color touch. You're not allowed to take it apart and glue it back together and restaple it and things like that. But pressing is allowed. It's kind of interesting that there's certain things allowed and certain things that aren't.
So now there's guys who are like, yeah, I'll press your book. It's just more money. I'll press your book for money. Then you're going to pay more money to get it graded. And then it's going to come out, you know, for even more money. And I don't know.
Yeah, but the right book between a 9.6 and a 9.8, you could be talking hundreds of dollars.
Oh, sure.
$1,000.
Yeah. Like, you don't know. I definitely recognize that fact. It's just like, you know, you're every step of the way, you're just pouring more money into it and hope that it comes out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A more valuable product in the eyes of, you know, that group of collectors.
Yep. So sticking with our East Coast Comic Con theme, you and I also did Ryan Hates Movies.
Yeah.
And we should definitely plug that.
Yeah, we did the Ryan Hates Movies, which you have, what's the address for that?
It's off of Podomatic.
Okay.
And you can find it on iTunes.
Yeah.
And we usually put up links, I forgot this last time, on our Facebook for it. But it was really fun. We watched a movie called Bad Johnson.
Yes.
It's about as good as it sounds. And you should definitely check that out.
Yeah. Tim, there's so much excitement before we watch the movie.
Yeah.
And then just
too much.
Too much excitement.
Too much excitement before.
And then after, Tim, you sounded like you were, like, falling asleep.
I was. Like, if it was good, I would have kind of pepped up a bit, but...
Well, the podcast is good.
The podcast is amazing. Ryan has a good format that he stole from me and Schuster when we did our X-Men review.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. You did that
X-Men review. He really didn't. I just like to break his balls, too. It's kind of my thing, if you haven't figured that out. And then transitioning, sticking with Ryan Young, I want to talk about the show that you guys did that I went to.
All right, you can talk about that.
We'll plug your show, and I'll tell you why, because... You've been in the High Council how long? Like 11 years or something?
Yeah,
how long has that been around?
Kind of ridiculous.
And every time I've tried to go to your show, something would happen and I couldn't go. Or you just didn't tell me about your show. Either way. But it's like, I finally got to see Lou live. Yeah. Finally.
Well, for the first like 7 or 8 years, we weren't even friends.
No.
I didn't even know you. True. So you can't hold that against me.
I can hold it against you.
All right.
I won't hold it against you.
You can do whatever you want, I guess.
We knew each other, but not like we know each other now, so it's fine. It was very good. You guys are amazing. We took Leander. He stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah,
he was pretty funny.
Leander at a heavy metal show.
It
man.
Was amazing.
It happened.
It did. And Ryan Young, his band Dudikoff, was opening. The second band was Cheap Dinosaurs. They were kind of cool. It's funny, if you look at them on, I think I looked at them on Spotify, it's very, like, chiptune-y, but, like, when you see them live, they're metal as shit. It's very cool how they change it for live.
The band Cheap Dinosaurs, which everyone should definitely check out, they do kind of the chiptune video game music thing. They do it very well.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it is backed by a full band, and their newer recordings, I think they're coming out with, they do incorporate more of the live instruments as well as the electronics. So it really makes a cool mix. And they're on Spotify, they're on Bandcamp, they're all over the place. So definitely check out Cheap Dinosaurs.
And check out High Council, because they're amazing.
Thanks.
You're amazing, Lou.
Thank you. We have too many plugs on this show.
But it's part of what we did. Like, I could be like, Lou, how was your week? But I know how your week was.
You were.
We
were together the whole time.
We're still together now. Suck it, Leander.
Ow. Leander, I don't mean that.
He means it.
If you're listening to this, out there in Radioland.
Radioland. All right, so let's get into actual news stuff.
News that's not us.
News that's not us. Did you see the Star Wars trailer?
Yeah.
How you feel about that?
Yeah.
Good, bad, and different?
I feel good about it. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't feel good about it. I mean, it starts with, a grounded, I'm going to say it wrong, Star Destroyer, right?
Sure.
That's what their ships are called, right?
I think it was a Star, whatever. We'll get hate mail for that. That's
I know,
get,
I
that's
always,
when we get
I
the mail.
Blank. It's a Star Destroyer, right?
I think it is.
It's a Super Star Destroyer. Email away.
I just feel like I'm saying it wrong.
You know what? It's a Star Destroyer. It's our podcast. Fuck it. That's what
it is. Well, anyway, you'll know what I mean because you saw the because everyone listening to this probably saw the trailer. So yeah, it looks awesome, and then it ends with Han Solo and Chewie. Chewie wasn't gray. They didn't give him the gray fur. I think that's what some people were thinking he was going to do, but that's fine. It was great.
I mean, Han had enough gray fur.
Yeah, had enough gray fur.
He looked a little rough, man. That was one thing I took away from it. I really like it. The only complaint I have isn't with the actual trailer, but with the fans of the trailer. Because everybody's like, it's the most amazing thing ever. And I'm just like, there's no way you could come to that conclusion logically just from that little bit of a
mess. Well, you could say it's the most... You could say it's an amazing trailer.
You can say it's, you could say a lot of things,
but I want to talk about Harrison Ford, man. Like he, like look, he got injured on the set, right?
Yep, he did,
and then he just got in a plane crash. Now, I'm sure the film was the trailer was filmed before he got in the plane crash, but man, he's for his age and getting in accidents every 6 months. Like he's doing pretty well. I gotta say.
It's a cry for help. I'm calling it right now.
Cry for help. He was like, what, piloting his own plane? Like, I guess you do when you're a rich celebrity.
Yeah.
Got in a crash.
That's nuts. Well, we'll move on from there. Our other bigger TV movie-related news is that Daredevil on Netflix is a huge smash hit. Did you get to see any of it?
I haven't seen it. I saw that it was renewed for a second season already, yep. And I forgot how Netflix does shows. I forgot that they release the whole thing all at once.
Which
so I'm
love.
Thinking the first episode just came out, and I'm like, wow, got renewed already. Must have been a hell of an episode. But, yeah, I do need to check that out. And the way that I watch shows is I binge watch, which mm-hmm. I think Netflix understands that.
Absolutely.
And is really on the ball with, like, all right, here's the whole thing. The only thing that I can see wrong with doing it that way is that it gives you time to forget about it. You know, like
it does.
When a season's on TV, you're thinking about it for the entire season, every week, once a week. So doing it this way is awesome. You can watch it all at the same time, but how long is it going to be till season two comes out?
Well, you just got to binge watch a couple episodes right before season two comes out
or
hit the internet for synopsises and whatnot. But I watched the whole thing. I loved it. It's not like immaculate. It's not a perfect piece of work, but it is very good. And what's important from it is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There are things that they show. It's not a huge amount of nods, but enough so you know it's in the same universe as the Avengers and everybody. There's a lot of cool Easter eggs in it. And I don't want to spoil them all, but definitely after you watch it, Google, you know, some of the cooler Easter eggs, and you'll see a lot of cool things. It did get renewed for the second season. It's darker. It's very dark in tone. It's violent. I feel like the main characters did nothing but drink the whole time.
Oh, this sounds like my kind of show.
Yeah, because, like, I found myself, like, subliminally, like, man, I could go for a drink. And I'm just, like, everybody's, like, in a bar drinking. Like, man, what are we going to do? I don't know. Bring the bottle. Yeah, and they just keep filling up, and they're just drinking like crazy. And I'm like, wow, this works. Did they get sponsored by, like, a whiskey company or something?
No, that's good. That's some of the hard realism that Marvel needs in its dark characters.
And it's dark. It has, I think, a little vulgarity, but nothing like over the top.
Right.
But the violence, the blood, everything's there. One thing I will say, it's not a complaint, but the only one comment I'll have is he gets the shit kicked out of him so often that I'm like, how could he actually live through this? Because it's just like, episode after episode, he is just getting the crap kicked out of him, which was very realistic and good. But I'm just like, man, he ends up at one point, and this isn't really a spoiler, he has this massive cut on the side, and it just won't ever stop opening up because he just keeps fighting people. And just like every other like throwaway scene, he's just like stitching it up. it's pretty funny. But it is a very good show. Now here's what's going to happen with season two. The director from this one, which was Stephen S. DeKnight, is not coming back for the next season because he has another commitment. The two other guys, which was Doug, I believe it's Petrie, and Mario Ramirez, they were, I think, producers on the show. They're going to direct the next season. So they're already involved. They already know everything. Doug did Buffy the Vampire Slayer, an American Horror Story, and Mario did Sons of Anarchy. So
okay. They got cred.
They have some cred. I think the big speculation over that is, why is he busy? Now, he had said before this came out, he goes, if this does well, there's one project I really like to do on Netflix, and it's The Punisher.
Ooh.
So now there's speculation that, like, did they greenlight that? Because he got, like, this is, like, one of the biggest things ever Netflix has done already. There's a lot of speculation that, like, Marvel was probably like, yeah, do The Punisher, please. Please do The Punisher.
That would be wonderful.
There's a lot of talks about it.
That's cool. Like, I'm a fan of Netflix. They're really promoting original stuff, you mm-hmm. know. I'm a fan.
And one thing that Daredevil does do, and this is the last I'll talk about this, is it sets up good for some characters that'll probably show up in Iron Fist. And out of all the Netflix shows that have come out, they haven't really told you anything about Iron Fist. So it's kind of cool that they've referenced characters that'll likely show up in there.
Right.
Different symbols and things in the show are from Iron Fist. So it's pretty cool. And I really like the show. You absolutely have to watch it. It is very good. And but just know it is darker and grittier. Let's see. Where should we go from there? Sony, who still have the rights to use Spider-Man, are going to do a animated feature film. It's going to be separate from the film universes that exist, and the Lego Movie director Phil Lord and Christopher Miller are the ones who are going to write and produce it.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's meant for a theatrical release. They did not state that. I feel like it'd kind of be good if they did, especially if they got a bigger name. Like, Lego Movie was huge.
Yeah, it was huge. With good reason. Yeah, I mean, it was very well done, so.
It was a very good movie. So, I don't know anything else about that. I think it was a cool kind of thing to do. Maybe they're just like, man, we can't just keep changing Spider-Man. Like, animated, go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's one way to do it.
That's what I would have done. So, Valiant movie news.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Valiant making movies. Valiant making pictures.
Making pictures. They have that TV/movie deal. Will they announce what their first movies will be?
Oh boy.
Bloodshot.
Uh-huh.
And Harbinger.
Okay.
Which Leander will be excited about. Leander loves the new Harbinger stuff. And the Bloodshot stuff's not bad either. It's just really interesting that all those Bloodshots are going to start going up. Harbinger's already started going up.
This is terrible.
This is the world we live in.
This is terrible. People start coming. We used to throw those books away.
God, I know. So what? They have a 5-picture deal, like guaranteed deal started already. There's going to be 2 Bloodshot movies and 2 Harbinger movies, and then the 5th movie will involve all the characters, and it'll be the Harbinger Wars, which may introduce other characters into that last movie that will then spin off into movies.
This is, guys, never throw anything away.
Seems
no
that
matter
way.
How crappy your 90s books were, or you thought that they were just piles of heaping garbage in your basement, just enough time goes by and someone makes a movie out of it, and then you're sitting on a gold mine. It's ridiculous. That's Harbinger.
Harbinger, man.
I'm sorry, I have a lot of trouble taking Valiant seriously. Now, I don't know why I'm biased against it. Probably because when we opened the store, the owner, Al,
mm-hmm.
told me all those books are trash. These books are worth nothing. This Ryan the Future Force #9, it was the most overprinted book ever. It's basically just worthless mm-hmm. garbage. So every time I looked at these Valiant books, and I remember even as a kid, I didn't want Valiant, I didn't want Bloodshot, I didn't want that crap. I wanted X-Men, man. I wanted X-Men, I wanted Avengers and Iron Man, maybe Batman, some Superman. I want no Harbinger.
You gotta remember, back in the 90s, when everybody left and created Image, if you didn't like Image, you didn't have any other outlet for more adult fare. And then Valiant came along. And Valiant, for one small window in time, was #1. It did happen.
Wow.
And Valiant isn't bad, that old stuff. It just kind of, the more it went on, it did get bad. And they had financial issues, and they're kind of like, it was pretty bad as far as a company, the way they were run, and I think a lot of people kind of just shit on them for that reason. But the new Valiant that came out a couple years ago is actually very good, and I do encourage people to read that. But we will see what happens. I'm excited for a Bloodshot movie and a Harbinger movie. Like, that might reinvigorate comics in general. You don't know. I mean, so many people will go to that and be like, not even knowing it's a comic movie.
Well, maybe. What do you think? Do you think more people will go because it's a comic, because it's, you know, a new comic movie? Because, I don't know, it might be a hard sell otherwise. Because no one really knows the characters, they're not familiar with them, but if they're like, well, I don't want to say no one. Obviously, if you're a fan of the comic, you know it. So the people who are fans will go see it. You know, and maybe it'll bring in some people who, you know, aren't familiar with it. But I think the fact that it is a movie based on a comic in this era of movie based on comics will be the major selling point for something like that.
You're right. And I guess the question becomes, because I think this is going to come out, I want to say I read 2018-ish, I think, if I remember correctly. So if that's the case, by 2018, are we going to be like, God damn it, I am so sick of superhero movies.
Yeah.
And that's why I worry about DC's movie plans, because I'm like, man, you got a late start. You want to do basically what Marvel did now.
Right.
You're way behind the curve. Even if it's good, you're going to be compared to Marvel now. And Marvel is just cramming stuff down our throat.
Yeah. I think they know that maybe, you know, it's a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I hope not. I mean, as long as the movies are good, I think we'll, you know, like we've talked about before, I think as long as they've got good stuff, we'll continue to go. But you're definitely right. Anyone else who is behind that curve, they're going to be seen as, you know, like, you know, copycats. Mm-hmm. Even though, I mean, obviously they have these characters, but as far as what they're doing with the movies, like, they're doing what Marvel did. That's what everyone's going to say.
Pretty much.
Including us. That's what we're saying. We just said it. You heard it here first.
There it is. Exclusive. I don't think it's exclusive. So we just have one more news story.
All right.
And that's it, man. I don't even have anything to review.
No, I don't read comics.
Really. I don't read comics.
I really don't read comics. Comic. I thought about it last night. I was like, oh, Tim wants to get up early to do a podcast.
It is early.
I can't fall asleep. Maybe I should read a comic to review, and then I didn't.
I wanted to read at least Chip Zdarsky's new book, Kaptara, came out, which is his space book, which I feel like everything is a space book. I don't know how many I've reviewed in the past couple.
Yeah, you're really on the space book circuit.
I can't, I know.
That's good, though. Space
I'm
is
cool. Lost in space over here.
Maybe that's the next place. After if the superhero movie thing dies down, maybe the comic companies can use all their space properties and go into like a sci-fi, you know, decade.
The sci-fi decade.
Which is cool. We need, I've heard, I still haven't seen Interstellar. I've heard a lot of good things about it. A couple bad things, mostly good things. I really need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But we could use some more, like, true sci-fi movies. And if
that aren't Star Wars and Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly. That aren't, like, franchise-based, you know.
It's tough because, I mean, they're so... It's like, you don't want to steal... It's like when you try to make a card game, it's like, well, I'm just ripping off Magic. Because Magic's the one that did it the longest and did it the best.
Yeah.
Kind of, overall, longevity speaking. It's kind of like, how do you not steal a little bit from Star Wars, a little bit from Star Trek?
That's not really an argument, because how does Star Wars and Star Trek not steal from, like, Asimov and, like, you know...
Yeah.
Ray Bradbury, you know, like, how does there's always going to be?
So where does the stealing stop? Where is that last?
Never.
Where is the last original idea?
The first story ever written down was stolen from the last guy to tell the story without writing it down. You know, like, you always build on what came before. You know.
Hold on, I gotta write that down.
That's all right. I think we got it on tape.
Oh, good. Is this thing on?
But yeah, like, so all science fiction, just like any, you know, I guess genre medium, it always borrows, but it's always developing, you know. There's going to be great horror movies in the future, you know, that are based on the horror movies of the 80s, which were based on, you know, I don't know, Jack the Ripper, whatever. It never really ends. But the thing is, as long as you tell a good story and you have cool characters, you can continue to develop it. And I hope that's what happens with sci-fi movies. Maybe these books that are coming out are going to give them a lot of good material to work with, and you know, everything's cyclical.
I agree. If you could have any one comic, Lou, turned into a movie, what would you pick?
All right, a
you,
comic.
You read a variety of things.
Oh, you know what?
You don't read as many as I do, but you read a good variety.
I don't, but East of West would make a great movie.
God, yeah. I love East of West.
It would have to be a couple movies, because, wow, what the fuck is going on?
Or a TV show. Or, like, a Netflix. My God, that would be so good on a Netflix.
It would, but I don't know if they would have the budget. Like, that movie is, like, blockbuster budget. It's, you have to set up this entire, like, post-apocalyptic world. Mm-hmm. You have so many characters, and all the characters require a lot of special effects. Everyone's got a robot horse.
Right.
Or, like, weird tentacles. Mm-hmm. Or, like, that thing that latches on to the one, like, apostle guy, and then he becomes, like, this man. Wow, that would cost a lot of money. But East of West, I think, would make a great, like, trilogy or something. Well, we'll see how long it goes, you know. But that's, you know, wishful thinking, like, maybe one day it'll happen. That would be awesome. Irredeemable. Would make a great movie.
Oh, yeah. They should do Irredeemable. Good call.
That would be an R-rated movie.
Oh, yeah.
Really violent, psychologically twisted, but, man, that would be a cool one, too.
That would be really good. You know what I would always like to see? It would have to be CGI as well, I'm sure. But Usagi Yojimbo. The giant samurai rabbit that appeared on Turtles and has had its own comic since God knows when, the 80s, late 80s, mid-80s. Could you imagine that, like, in the age of another Turtle movie coming out and things like that?
Yeah.
I think people might get behind that. It's so weird.
They might. I mean, how did Turtles do that well? I didn't hear a lot about it one way or the other. Actually, I heard it was bad from people I know, but apparently they're making the sequel.
They are making a sequel. Apparently,
I guess it made enough money to warrant
it that. It was number one for a bit in time, but, like, nowadays that doesn't mean what it used to mean.
Right.
Because there's so many bad movies that do come out, as Ryan will tell you. So, it's like, hey.
Well, let's be straight. The movies Ryan's watching, none of them were ever number one, and never will be.
There's a funny story.
No wonder the poor guy hates movies. Oh, continue. My God.
I think it's a conspiracy from his wife who picks all his movies, because some of them are just so bad.
Well, originally the idea for the podcast was he hadn't seen good movies. So when he talked to me about doing the podcast, he was like, man, there's so many movies that people are like, oh, you haven't seen this? And he's just like, no, I don't watch movies. And he was like, so I'm going to sit down and we're going to like drink and we're going to watch these great movies I haven't seen. And then we're going to podcast about them. So I was like, all right, sign me up. We were supposed to do Apocalypse Now.
Oh, my God, he hasn't seen Apocalypse
he
hasn't, Now.
Yeah, right? This is that was why he wanted to do the podcast. Because people were just like, what, dude? You haven't seen blah, blah, blah. And then,
right, because that always happens, I'm sure, to him.
Yeah, you haven't seen Jaws, you haven't seen whatever.
I don't get your reference. The head, the tail, I don't know what you're talking about. The whole thing? Okay.
So, I was amped for that, but I think he changed the format so that he would continue to hate movies, because if he stops hating movies, then the podcast ends.
Well,
he has to continue to hate movies, so that's why he's watching garbage.
I think we need to spice it up. I mean, I'm curious what tone it'll take when he legit naturally, through Netflix or going to the theater, gets a decent enough movie.
I don't think it's going to happen, because he has to pick movies he's never heard of. So if you've never heard of a movie, it's probably not good. I'm sorry. Like, there are exceptions. But there's so many movies out there.
Right. And it's usually like an indie movie that would probably be good that you haven't heard of. I feel like that's the requirement.
Yeah, and like there's maybe three of those on Netflix. Oh, that's the other side of the Netflix coin. I was singing its praises earlier about, you know, the television episodes, sure. But I forgot that every movie on there is absolute garbage.
Apparently.
They'll have like one or two real movies on there, you know, for a week or two, and then the next time you go on and try to find it, it's gone already, and it's like, well, I guess I could watch, you know, Nosferatu again.
What is it, Thursday? Nosferatu Thursday.
Nosferatu night.
Get the popcorn, dude. Nosferatu.
That movie's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
But
Apocalypse Now, man. We got to do that. We got to do that with him. As friends, we just got to sit him down and make him watch it. I don't care if he's podcasting.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be podcasting.
Like, he's all high when he did this scene. He punches the mirror. Yeah. He showed me the list of movies that he was considering us doing, and I knew what two of them were. One of them I had seen, and I feel like warning him. And I'm not going to say...
It's torture.
But it might be the worst movie I have ever seen. in my life on his list, and I want to warn him as a friend, but I know it's detrimental to his podcast.
Well, his podcast is detrimental to his mental health, I think. All right, enough about Ryan. His podcast is a
yeah.
Jeez.
God damn it.
All right, what's your final item there?
My final item is the Eisner Award nominations came out again.
Ooh, this is always fun.
It is, except I'm not very super like thrilled with these nominations. I don't know. Maybe I'm an asshole, but I'm not like super thrilled.
Maybe. There's a good chance.
There's a very good chance. I did almost run over Neil Adams, right? we'll go through it. If you want to pick. I'll try and pick. I don't know everything, again. The Eisner Awards do a good job of noticing smaller projects, maybe up-and-comers before everyone else realizes it kind of thing. But we'll just run through some of these. Best Continuing Series. Astro City. Bandette. Which I think is a web series, which it's interesting that gets thrown in here. But like it's like a bigger author. Like Vaughn has one that gets nominated.
Uh-oh, here come the web series.
Right.
Goodbye, comic books.
Hawkeye, Saga, Walking Dead, and Southern Bastards.
Ooh. Well, I mean, I'm a little behind on Southern Bastards, but... That would be cool. I would like that.
I feel like that's my sentimental favorite, but I don't think it's going to win.
Didn't Saga get it last year?
Saga got it last year.
I don't know if they'll give it the twofer.
They do it sometimes. I don't understand why Hawkeye's nominated, because it comes out so infrequently.
Well, it's over now, right? They rebooted it.
They did all new Hawkeye, which I think is Jeff Lemire off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But there's still like an issue of Hawkeye to come out. From the old series. Like, it's not done. It hasn't come out.
Oh, that's weird.
It's very weird. And it just came out so infrequently. Yes, it's very good, but, you know, if I have a monthly book and it comes out, and three of them come out in the year, should I be nominated for continuing series?
sporadically continuing series?
There's no question mark after continuing.
Because then Mark Millar would be in that category, too.
Mark Millar would just win every time. Like, I had a book come out this year. Best continuing series. It's a movie before a book is done. So I actually think The Walking Dead is going to take it.
Okay.
The Walking Dead has been a lot better as of late. And it is... The TV show is kind of caught up to it, so that probably helps.
Yeah.
I feel like they skipped a big part in the comics, and I think they'll probably come back to it.
The show skipped a huge chunk
of the comics.
Okay.
And I do... So now the show is virtually caught up, so I feel like they'll do some stuff and then come back. We'll see. Best Limited Series, Daredevil Road Warrior, Little Nemo Slumberland, Multiversity, The Private Eye, which is the Brian K. Vaughan book, and Sandman Overture. I don't know on this one. I don't know that Daredevil book, honestly. I know Little Nemo a lot of people like. I feel Multiversity should probably get this. It was just a series of one-shots, but there was so much information and just in those books, and they constantly sold out.
Now, is that kind of the setup for...
it's part of the setup for Convergence.
For Convergence? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's like what all the different universes are.
Right. And like that data book or whatever, the guidebook, that thing was $8. It was huge. And it was like Morrison wrote a novel.
Wow.
It was really... I remember I'm like... This book, why is this book $8? And I flip through it, and I'm like, I get it.
I get it. You looked at page 2. I get it.
And it was really
that's small print.
And I'm like, well, will people read this? Like, in this day and age of short attention spans, will people read it? And that book sold out. I reordered, like, a ton of them, and it sold out again. And people are just like, I love this guidebook. And I'm like, okay. It's just interesting. But I feel like Multiversity should win. If not, probably Sandman will win or The Private Eye. I feel like I don't know. Do they have favorites? Do the same people always get nominated? Do they deserve it? I don't know if Hawkeye deserves, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But best new series. I liked most of this. The Fade Out, which is the Brubaker book. Lumberjanes. Miss Marvel. Rocket Raccoon. And Wicked and Divine.
Okay.
I'm leaning towards Wicked and Divine, and I don't even like that book. I just feel like it'll win.
Yeah.
Al loves that book. I'm not crazy about it. But I would love to see, like, Lumberjanes win.
Yeah.
Like, it's more, I don't know, not your typical fare.
What, Witches, man? Where's Witches?
Yeah, where is Witches? Come on, guys, dropping the ball.
It's a good book.
Best writer, Jason Aaron, which this past year did Thor, Original Sin, Men of Wrath, and Southern Bastards.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good
list. He's been busy,
list.
Yeah.
Kelly Sue DeConnick, who did Captain Marvel and Pretty Deadly. I'm not feeling that. Grant Morrison for Multiversity and his book Annihilator. Brian K. Vaughan for Saga and Private Eye. G. Willow Wilson for Miss Marvel. I'm like, all right, somebody outside the box, and that book does do well. And Jean Lun Yang for Avatar The Last Airbender and Shadow Hero. I've heard really good things about that Airbender comic, but, I mean, I'm not into that franchise.
Yeah,
so.
No, same here.
For me, I want Jason Aaron to win.
Yeah.
Because Thor has been so good. Original Sin was good.
Yeah, Original Sin was really good. Southern Bastards is really good.
And I've heard Men of Wrath is good, but I didn't read all of that. And, like, if not him, I'd rather Grant Morrison. Like, I don't want Vaughn to win every year.
Yeah.
I mean, Saga's good. I want him nominated every year. I don't want him to win every year. You know what I mean?
I would agree.
Best penciler / inker, Adrian Alfona for Miss Marvel. Mike Alred for Silver Surfer and Madman. Frank Quitely for Multiversity. Francois Schulten? Schulten? So bad with names, I hate this shit.
Yeah, you shouldn't be reading names.
You're right. Fiona Staples and Babs Tarr, who does Batgirl. I have no idea.
Yeah.
No clue. Flip a coin. We'll go with Frank.
Flip a five-sided coin on that one.
Yeah, it's a special coin. They're called dice. I'm going to go with Francois because I can't pronounce your name, and I wrote it down horribly, so I actually have no shot in hell. So, Francois, good luck.
There you go.
And the last one I wrote down was the best cover artist, which Darwin Cook got nominated for his DC Variant Month, where he did variants on every book. Mike Del Mundo for Elektra, which is a book that I believe is getting canceled, and it's like, yeah, but that artwork is amazing. The whole book is amazing. So I like that. Francesco Francavilla? It's the guy from Afterlife with Archie. He does Black Hood now. He does everything. He's very good. Very, very good artist. Oh, yeah, he also did Grindhouse, Twilight Zone, and Django Zorro, which I feel like we should have read.
Oh, yeah, that just came and went.
I think it might still be coming
out. Django.
Django. Whatever, man. God damn it.
Django. And you put the zh on it. Just
wait, it's a silent dzh.
Yeah. You're a silent dzh.
You're a silent dzh. Jamie McKelvey and Matthew Wilson for Wicked and Divine, and they also work together on Miss Marvel. Phil Noto for Black Widow. I don't agree with that. And Alex Ross for Astro City and some of his Batman 66 spinoff books. So that is that. I want Darwin Cook to win. I love Darwin Cook.
Yeah,
he's
you do.
Amazing. I do like the Francesco Francavilla guy. I wouldn't mind him. I wouldn't mind any of these guys winning, really. That's like one of the few categories where I'm like, cool, good luck to everybody.
We should do Fantasy Eisner Awards.
Fantasy Eisner Awards.
Yeah.
That'd be great. We pick who we want. Leander's going to have such a hard time. He doesn't do names. Steven Sajic?
Steven Sajic.
Can he win everything?
It's like, that's not really a good Leander impression. Is that where you're going with that?
I guess. I can't do his laugh either.
It's so weird. Stop. You're freaking me out. It's like he's here with us. Actually, I do miss him.
Aww. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he's okay. He's taking care of business somewhere. Traveling around the globe.
He's Captain Planet, man. He's saving the economy.
Captain Planet didn't save the economy. He saved the environment.
Whatever. It's all the same. Wait, what does Leander do? Does he save the economy or the environment?
The environment.
You
don't even know what Leander does.
The environment.
The economy. He's a big time banker, right? Hey, Leander, bring us home some money, will you?
And a big old bag with a dollar sign on it.
That's how they do it, those economist savers.
Well, good luck, Leander, wherever you are. Which is probably like right next to us as he's listening to it. That'll be our luck.
Yeah.
Well, anything you want to throw in here before we wrap this up?
I miss you, Leander.
Aw.
That's it.
Aw. I don't miss you yet, but by the time you hear this, I probably will. It hasn't set in yet. I've just been too busy. It hasn't set in. I'm sorry. All right. Well, that's everything, and I guess we'll just plug Fest on the way out the door here. We got our Facebook. We've got the YouTube, capesandscalespodcast.com. You can find us on your mobile devices, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on iTunes. Remember the comic book store, 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey. We'll be having a free comic book day sale where the whole store will be on sale. Graphic novels will be 40% off.
That's a good deal.
And with the promo code SCOWLS, they're still just 40%
off. The promo code that we just made up.
That's right. So, remember, you go up to Al and you whisper, SCOWLS, in his ear, and you get 40% off on that
Not
day.
Weird at all.
I remember once I said this, I said, whisper in his ear, the promo code, and I was just waiting for somebody to do it. Like, I never told Al. So, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Facebook.
Underscore mad, underscore, underscore, dog, underscore, Tim.
Several
underscore,
underscores.
Underscore.
If you're not sure, just throw in an underscore. You probably got it. And capesandscalespodcast@gmail.com is the one I forgot. So, thank you everybody for listening. Make sure you get back at us if you have any suggestions, anything you want us to tackle. Today was a very newsworthy day. And I think
wait a second.
Oh my
Stop.
God, we're not done. Hold the press.
Iceman's gay. Remember?
Iceman's
Did
gay.
You not see this?
No, what are you talking about?
Iceman came out, is coming out in the next issue of All New X-Men.
Oh.
Wow, I know news that you don't.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention, man.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So apparently it was all the rage on like IO9 or whatever, all those sites. Apparently the past Iceman that comes back through the future.
Oh, okay.
Comes out to Jean Grey, who's he like hits on someone, and Jean Grey reads his mind, and she's like, "Why would you hit on her? You're totally gay." And he's like, "Yeah, you're right. I'm totally gay."
Hmm.
So, present Bobby has not come out, but past Bobby has.
That's a conundrum for Bobby.
Yeah. So when I saw this, there was the same. You know, thing that always happens, because it's Bendis, right, writing it?
I think so, yeah.
And they're like, okay, you're just, you know, pandering to another minority group or whatever.
Right, right.
So, I'm not sure exactly what's happening with the storyline, but that's just based on what I read. But this is another situation where the writer decides to do something with a character that everyone's known forever. And apparently, according to people in the article, people have been speculating about that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a type of thing where, are you doing this because it's part of the story, or are you just doing this to sell books? And like, that's just the argument that there always is.
I'm pretty sure he just wants to draw, he wants the artist to draw ice boners. Ice boners.
But straight guys get, like, he could have an ice boner already.
You're right.
Like, why didn't he draw ice boners now?
You know what? You're right. That's, you're missing your opportunity here. You're right.
Like, I mean, there's nothing to say that he doesn't get ice boners behind the scenes.
Wait, is it too cold so he can't get ice boners? Is he just flaccid all the time? Is that why he's sheepish?
this conversation went really deep, meaningful places.
Is he pandering to the gay community?
I don't want to talk about that anymore. I want to talk about the things that Iceman can do that we could never see in a comic. Maybe we shouldn't talk about that.
Maybe we should just leave this alone. Ice boners. Ice boners.
All right, well, I tried to bring up a real topic.
No, let's bring it back. We can
No, I don't want to bring it back.
Fine.
You can't come back from ice boners.
Ice boners?
Like, writer's conundrum. Sexuality, ice boners, just off the cliff. Off the cliff before we even started the car, man.
Ice lemmings. That's what we did. Right off the cliff.
All right, take us home.
Ice boners.
This, the 4th of July. No one told me.
Leave him alone.
What's she gonna do? Hit me with her diaper?
I'll show you, you overgrown trash!